welcome back. Cheers again, everyone. Another show. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
I can't either. That turned down really fast, huh? That music?
Yeah, I was gone like that.
That was terrible. I need a bigger knob or something. This knob's very small.
You need to attach maybe some big old style, like 19th century crank to it.
Yeah, something like that. Something that just makes it feel... Because I get it halfway down and then I'm like, oh, fuck, it's too far. But I just keep going.
I see. So maybe you just need something more sensitive, not something bigger.
Yeah. Or, I mean, okay. I'd like it to be more like, can you know, if we redo it here.
All right. Hang on. Let's see.
So it comes in. It's exciting.
Yeah. See, like, now you're ready to hear some podcasting.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like, here we go. Okay, cheers, everybody. Welcome to our show. We're going to start again here with Ian across from me.
Hello.
You can still hear a little music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can still hear it a little bit.
I feel like this will trick people into listening to maybe 40 seconds of the podcast.
Right, and thinking that somehow you recorded this wrong.
Yeah, and they're like, ooh, this is a good song. That's Lucero for anyone at home. Well, now it's gone.
Right, yeah, it did go away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It went from mostly there to gone.
Yeah. It was about a 2-second fade. Not right. Really a regulation fade.
I think that's called turning it off.
Yeah, that's true. Just turning it off a little bit more slowly as opposed to fading.
Right.
Well, I'm working on it. You know, we went to music like that makes me think about, because if I owned a restaurant, I would pick... It's weird, like, we went to I guess it's a Middle Eastern restaurant.
Yeah, it's Persian food, but sure.
Where's Persia?
Well, it's Iran now, so Middle Eastern.
And who's the prince of Persia?
Well, it's a guy with a sword who can slow down time,
Jake
apparently.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Right, who spoke with a British accent in that movie for some reason.
We just talked about that on another show, how old-timey movies, regardless of the location, everyone has a British accent or an English accent.
Yeah, unless they need to be like a French caricature.
Yeah.
You know, then they can have a French accent. Like, I was watching... last night I was watching the old movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Sure.
Totally don't need to know the story, but at one part they show up in France, and everyone speaks with a comical French accent.
Right.
You know.
Ooh, monsieur.
Right.
Bleh.
And the working class people speak no English.
Right.
None.
Right.
But somehow all the Americans automatically understand French even though they don't speak it. And even though the people don't speak any English... They seem to understand each other, like in Star Wars, how, you know, Greedo can go, bruh, 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 bruh.
Yeah.
And Han Solo totally understands him and speaks in English, and then Greedo understands English, too.
Oh, they're multilingual. They're smart.
Right, I guess so. Even though they can't speak the same language to each other, which seems odd.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
They talk in their weird alien shit language, and then they talk back in their own language, English. And then they just continue a bilingual conversation instead of arriving at a point where they're both speaking one language.
Right. They're not speaking some third language. They're not speaking like halfway in between where they're throwing in words from the other person's language.
Yeah.
It's all like Jabba the Hutt only speaks in Yaka Dui Dodi Yado. And then Han Solo's like, yeah, I'll get your money, Jabba. And it's totally like as no one would do that in real life today.
You know what, though? I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
As a man who's not interested in fucking reading what Jabba the Hutt says, I don't want to read what Jabba the Hutt says and what Han Solo says.
I guess I don't understand why you wouldn't just have Jabba the Hutt speak in English to Han Solo.
Probably, I think it wouldn't look real.
I guess
his stupid face didn't form words, so if he's just saying shit, you can't say, that doesn't look like how you would say felching.
I guess it seems weird that they would translate Jabba's, like Jabba's language became words, but like those Tusken Raider guys or the Jawas in the desert.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who would go like beep, 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 or the.
Yeah.
Somehow that wasn't language at all.
I don't think they had mouths.
Okay.
That was the way. I think the first couple Star Wars, they got creative because I think there was a thing in the day where in a movie you had to be a little more creative, and I think they turned out better because you couldn't just fucking animate some shithead
right
on a computer. You had to say, we have these fucking weird monsters, but we don't have budget to give them a mouth, so how are we going to make a robot talk with no mouth, and how are we going to make these all these midgets you know, with glowing eyes and have a mouth. And they're like, yeah, fuck, just put a hood on him.
Yeah, just be done with it.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer that.
I guess so.
It doesn't, it won't bother you if you don't think, you're overthinking the Star Wars.
I suppose. I guess the thing that seems to make sense is that Star Wars isn't the only film that does this. Like, it seems one thing when it's in a, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But again, like in the movie I just saw, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, they do the same thing, but it's like American women. By the way, it's like Marilyn Monroe is talking to this French cab driver.
That was Marilyn Monroe. I'm not, yep. Do you like her? What's her appeal?
I don't know. I saw the movie, and I guess it's just there's a time and place thing, but it seems like we see her image so much that it's hard to... It was weird to see her as a moving person, you know?
I just don't... She looks fine, but I don't find her to be amazing. I've never spanked to Marilyn Monroe once.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So, I don't know. She's like an iconic beauty thing, yet I've never spanked. What's up with that, you know?
And the weird part is, like, she's not the best-looking woman in that movie, either. You know? Like, there's Jane Mansfield right there. You're like, she's way better looking.
Sure, Jane Mansfield.
Right, and way more interesting, too. Like, her character is funny and smart.
Well, that's not so much on the spank, but I see where you're coming from.
Right.
But, so we were at this restaurant, and they were playing... It was a Middle Eastern restaurant, so instead of playing, you know, some nice Lucero, I Can Get Us Out of Here Tonight... It was, of course, crazy Middle Eastern music.
Right.
Which is got to be the worst. I would challenge you to come up with a country with worse indigenous music. I mean, that's fucking terrible.
I guess I would probably have to try and go with North Korea. But
what
that's
does that
a stretch.
Sound like? I mean,
it sounds like, I guess, like, sometimes it sounds like orchestral music, like or sort of old Soviet orchestral arrangements, with a woman with a super high tinny voice singing all the stuff.
That's with the Middle Eastern. To me, I can't tell sometimes if they're playing a really shitty instrument or if it's someone just going...
Now, see, that would be kind of awesome if people were going like that.
It's not awesome, because that's what it sounds like, and it's horrible. It's very... You're trying to look at this fucking menu... And you can't read anything on the menu. None of those words are anything like a word. The only word I could read was gyros, and that's only because I've seen that word.
That was the only dish you recognized.
Right, because I've seen it on a spindle before. Which, by the way, if you have gyros at your restaurant or store, I want to see the fucking spindle.
Oh, you want to see that big spindle of pressed meat?
Yeah, I want to see the spindle. How do I... If I don't see the spindle... I'm assuming it's coming from, like, Arby's style.
Okay, where it's just all sort of freeze-dried in the back in little baggies?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to see the spindle, and I want to see you using some kind of saw that's not meant for food preparation to shave the meat off.
Like some kind of Dexter-style circular saw coming out? Or
like a Dremel, just...
Okay.
Or some kind of plugged into the wall... sander and you just sand the meat off. I don't know.
Some kind of serious business power tool coming in.
Yeah. Something real. Something you could use to shave that or kill someone.
A traditional Middle Eastern power tool.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
So we were at this restaurant and it had the menu. And something I hate this, you go to Italian restaurant. I had no idea that the word fagioli was fagioli until about 2 days ago.
Okay.
I did not know that. So they would come to the table and I'd say, I'll have this, you know, and I would point the pasta.
Okay.
And hope they would just fill in. And what they always fucking do this at these kind of restaurants. Anyone that's got an ethnic kind of menu.
All right.
I'll point to pasta fagioli and they go, oh, pasta fagioli. They're really fucking proud about how good they are at pronouncing it. And I'm like, well, you work here. I'm trying to just come here and eat, not take a grammar lesson.
Right.
I'm not going to need to know that fucking word tomorrow. I know it now, but it's too late. I already embarrassed myself. Why are you telling me this?
It's not as if you'll be walking down the street and some Italian man is bleeding to death. Yeah. He's like, oh, my fagioli! And you're going to, then you don't know what it is and he dies.
I wouldn't, even if he said that today, right. I wouldn't know what his fagioli was.
Yeah, so it's not as if this is a life or death thing or something you'll ever be
it's
tested over.
It's not even life or death. It's not even... necessary.
Right.
No one's going to say, oh, I live on Fajul Street and I'm driving around for 3 hours looking at Fagioli Street. having no idea where I'm going.
Right, and it's not as if you're pronouncing something, you know, terribly egregious, like you go to a Japanese place and order the Seuss High.
Yeah, I'm doing it as it appears to my Western eyes. And furthermore, you look at this fucking menu.
All right.
I completely lost my train of thought.
Well, you're having a hard time reading this menu.
I'm having a super hard time reading the menu. And I can't remember. They had some kind of a kebab that was made out of pressed beef.
Oh, it's like kubda or something.
Yeah, kubade.
Kubade, yeah.
Which is spelled like kobida.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all looking at it. And the waitress comes up. First thing before she even says hello is like, everyone asks, it's pronounced kubade. Which to me says, put it on the fucking menu then. If everyone's asking and you're so tired of it, just put it on the menu. That'll save you a lot of fucking time, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that that's probably something you should put on the menu, or just put on, like, ground meat.
Yeah, or, yeah, put the definition.
Right.
You put kubade, parentheses. This is why parentheses were invented. Do they use parentheses in other countries? Because it seems like I go to a... Every restaurant you go to, too.
Mm-hmm.
God, I sound like such a fucking... Well, I guess this will be the white power portion of the cast here. But right. Every time you go to a restaurant like that, and it's pretty good, but there are just those occasional hiccups in the menu where you're like, oh, this was clearly written by someone without English as a first language.
Right.
But there was, you know, like a white college student-looking waitress there. Uh-huh. Why don't they have her give the fucking menu a once-over?
Yeah, it seems like they could have her, like, taste everything and they're like, or watch everything go in and be like, oh, this is ground meat.
No, I mean, give the menu a once over so it doesn't say like our most famous meat put on a stick and whatever, and it doesn't sound like it makes any sense.
Okay.
Have her go over and say, you might say our most popular dish, not our most famous meat. It's not a fucking porn movie of, you know, most famous meat part 2 or some shit like that.
Listen, those kebabs have been featured in a great deal of Iranian porn. So,
I bet they do use kebabs in their porn. I don't know. I get a little disheartened too because the Middle Eastern kebab, no stick.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
I don't think they're even using a stick. The ones we had didn't look like they had a stick hole.
No, it really didn't.
So how are they doing this? How is that a kebab? I thought the kebab was the stick.
I mean, I think that maybe they're still cooking it with the stick, but they're just not giving you the stick.
But there is no stick hole. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
I want the stick. I want, or at least the hole. At least skewer it all so I think you're using a grill.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, with some of the kebabs, it looked like you could see the stick, like in the menu pictures, that it looked like it was on a stick, so
that
makes sense.
That's a fucking kebab. It should have a goddamn stick.
Right, I agree.
So then the waitress comes.
Uh-huh.
And she was the strangest waitress because she was nice, but then she would kind of peer pressure you into getting stuff because we were ordered appetizers. I think there were maybe 4 appetizers.
Right.
One was hummus, which came with the dishes, so we weren't going to get that.
Yeah.
Even though that was good. But then there was
falafel,
soup, and something else.
The stuffed grape leaves.
Okay, so, you know, we're having a celebratory dinner.
Right.
So... we're like, we'll get the dalma and we'll get the falafel.
Yeah, sure.
So we order that, and then the waitress says, oh, the red lentil soup, the other appetizer, the one only one we weren't getting, is so good. You need to try it. You have to try it, you know?
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, and she's saying, oh, well, you can just split one between 3 people. And so finally, it's like, okay.
We caved.
And then she brings it out, too, and by one split between 3 people, she was giving us permission to... eat all out of the same fucking bowl.
Yeah, like we were gonna, that, you know, I don't mind eating family style. Peter does, but that's another day.
Even then.
But that's a step too far.
Okay, family style. Here's my opinion. Because I'll go out and eat with my mom.
Right.
And we'll get Chinese. She'll order something and I'll order something. And her idea is she eats half of what I got and half of what she got.
Yeah.
But I will just order what I want and then eat that. Why would we conference over what we're both ordering so that we can both come at sort of a half order of each thing situation? I'll fucking just order what I want to eat and eat that.
Now,
that's crazy.
In all fairness, you are pretty territorial about your food where you're like, I ordered what I want. No, don't. You can't have any of what I want. None.
I don't think it's that. I just don't want to have to. I don't want to. If I go to a restaurant,
right,
I'm not going to conference with everyone else of, well, I'm going to get this. Does that sound okay? And we, God forbid, we order the same shit or something like that. I want us to get the same or whatever we want. I'm fine if someone's like, can I try this? Can I try that?
Right.
That's cool. But I'm not ordering half your meal. It's like when you go somewhere, you go to a Wendy's.
Uh-huh.
I get my standard meal of a double stack, junior bacon, maybe another double stack, and a fries.
That's your standard meal?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the bacon's not in there.
You get the Diet Coke so you don't feel like a fatty?
Yeah, I don't drink the Coke.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll get a Dr. Pepper. Some restaurants have better Coke and Dr. Pepper than others.
Right.
Like Taco Bell has the best Sprite. Taco Bell!
Teenage Peter has joined us today.
Very appropriate. Okay. So I don't like the family dining experience in that I'll just order what I want, and if you want to try some, that's fine. But if you want what I order, just fucking order it yourself.
Yeah, but with the soup in this case, even a family dining fan, that's too much for them.
It's one bowl, and she brought us three spoons.
Right.
And we're sitting at a round table. How are you supposed to share a bowl of soup?
Yeah, we kind of had to pass it around.
Or you just reached across the entire fucking table and put your spoon in it from the other side of the table.
Right. I feel like I handled this whole meal the best of all of us. So
sure.
I would like to say I won this dinner.
Sure.
All right. But the soup, I will say, was pretty good. But I don't think it was something that I would have ordered if it was just me.
Well, we wouldn't have ordered it if it was just us either, except for the waitress is like, ooh, you've only ordered, 66.6% of the appetizers. I mean, I felt it was pretty decadent to order two different appetizers plus a full meal, and we all ate dessert.
Yeah, that's true.
I was fucking stuffed as fuck.
Right.
I don't, Okay, so then she comes, she takes our order, and, there's a mystery spice on the table. It's in a Parmesan shaker, but it looked sort of like if you mixed cocoa powder with chili powder.
Yeah, it looks kind of like purple Parmesan cheese, I guess, because
no,
it looked kind of purplish.
It didn't look like Parmesan, though. It was more like cocoa powder, the consistency.
All right.
It didn't really smell like anything.
Mm-hmm.
We all shook it out. Nothing. And then she tells us what it is five times, can't even understand what she's saying, so we still don't know, but she says it's good on this or that.
Right.
I don't know. So the food comes, it's fine. Then she fucking pushes a dessert on us.
Right.
She says, oh, we have baklava, we have almond cookies, those are homemade. We also have a flan, but that's not homemade, so, we have the cookies and the baklava.
Now, I had the cookie and you had the baklava, and I'll say the cookie was pretty good. I mean, I'll give it
fine,
that. Yeah.
But how fucking good is a cookie and how bad is a cookie?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I would get it again, but when she said the cookie is really good, I'm like, yeah, the cookie is pretty good. So she wasn't lying there.
She wasn't lying, but I don't need she was fucking a little pushy for my liking. A little bit too involved in the meal. She came back way too often and would make little suggestions. It's like I went to the Melting Pot one time. Have you been to this place?
No, I've never been to the Melting Pot.
So we go to the Melting Pot, and there's four of us.
Now, you should explain to the listeners, especially your international listeners.
Yeah.
Like, what the Melting Pot is.
All right, Roy, here's what the Melting Pot is.
Okay.
It's you go to a place, and it's a fondue dinner. So you sit down at a table, and there are burners on the table like a stove.
Right.
So you sit there and you usually start, you have a cheese course, so they'll bring out a pot, they melt cheese in it, you dip things in the cheese and eat it.
Okay.
Then the main course, they bring out some kind of mixture of herbs and oil and whatever, and they'll bring out steak or chicken, and you dip it in there for a certain amount of time till it cooks and eat it. So you're eating bite-sized pieces of food throughout the entire night. Then there's usually a dessert, which is usually melted chocolate, and you dip strawberries and shit in there.
Okay.
So we get there and the waiter is this guy. He's real fucking aggressive. His name, John Train. Hi, I'm John Train.
John Train? Like, did it have
Choo Choo Train?
Did he have a name tag that said like John Train?
No, he introduced himself as John Train, And then he at the end of the night, he gave us a business card. God knows why. So,
yeah. Wait, did it? No, I'm just for my curiosity.
It did not John, have a train picture on it.
Well, dang it. Like, it just had John-Train, like, with a little Thomas the Tank Engine.
That was his last name, was John Train. But he introduced his name as a full name, not as, hi, I'm John, which it's kind of set the tone for the evening.
Okay.
So we sit down. Of course, there's a control for the burners, like on any normal stove. And, of course, the control, it's a pretty tight seating situation.
Right.
So the control is literally resting on my thigh. It's okay. On the lower edge of the table, and the bottom end of the dial is on my thigh.
All right.
So he goes to adjust this thing periodically throughout the meal, and every time his dumb, big, fat John Train hand is scraping against my thigh. And
okay.
I'm in suit pants. So it's a really, suit pants are very thin. Which I think is a trick because suits, you know, you could wear that to a strip club.
Right.
And then you have the most, you have thinner than sweatpants.
Yeah.
It's like not wearing pants at all.
You might as well just not wear pants. And you got, since you weren't wearing pants that night.
Right.
You got run over by the train, son.
I did.
You got hit by a train.
And so the whole time, too, he's really excited to tell you about, like, okay, this course includes 6 different kinds of cheeses. This is an Asiago cheese from the region of Italy and blah, on and on. And it gets to a place where you're just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm here to just eat a meal. I didn't invite you to dinner, John Train.
Right.
We came out as friends. We'd like to talk about whatever we were going to talk about.
Like the shit you took at work or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would recommend, actually, I think the Melting Pot is a great, a Melting Pot is a great place to go if... If your relationship's falling apart, like if you're in a dead marriage.
Okay.
Because you don't want to talk to your wife very much. So you could go there and they kind of fill in the void in the conversation because they just keep telling you about the fucking food that you're eating.
If you're trying to sustain a relationship unnaturally. So I see what you're saying there. Okay. So if you don't want to talk to someone, go to the Melting Pot.
Well, and it kind of spoils the experience for me a little. I could use a little information so I know what I'm ordering. But after that, I'm fine. It would be the equivalent of, because they're telling you all this stuff about the food. I'm about to eat the food. Your words about the food are not going to do more for me than the flavors of the fucking food.
Okay.
I wouldn't go to a movie and the usher sits, you know, in the next row over, and every 15 minutes they stop the movie. He comes over and tells you what's about to happen.
Or he tries to explain how all of these camera angles were influenced by various directors of the cinema verite movement in France.
Right. It fucks up the narrative of the dinner.
Right.
So, and it was kind of a similar thing at this House of Kebab.
Okay.
She was fucking all in our face the whole time, a little too prompt about, you know, oh, you took one drink of your water? I better come refill it and ask how the meal's going and taking away... I don't like, too, when they take away the plates a little too fast.
Right.
They're really, and, you know, they ask you twice before you're ready. Are you done with this plate?
You know, I never mind too much when they refill your water up, like, really quickly. But what does tick me off there is, like, I had tea.
Yeah.
You know, like, tea and coffee are things, like, people have, like, a particular... I have a particular chemistry I like.
Okay.
You know, like, you add the right amount of sugar or the right amount of cream if you do add that to your coffee.
Mm.
And when someone's, like, you know, dumping more coffee and they're screwing up your chemistry.
That's true.
You know, like...
Yeah, when they say, oh, can I warm that up for you, hon?
Right. And it's sort of like, if you like black coffee or you like your tea just as it is, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add anything to it, they're like... Well, now you screwed this up, so now I got to figure out, okay, I had half, you know, I had half a sugar packet, I had this, you know. And it's sort of, it's obnoxious in its own way.
Right. So then, to top off the evening, too, the restaurant owner, manager, came over to our table. I talked about this just a little bit on the previous show, and I'll say the same thing again just to see what your reaction is to my assessment of the situation.
Okay.
So this guy comes over, doesn't announce that he's the manager or anything. I mean, just kind of assume because he was a swarthy, Middle Eastern-looking gentleman.
Who was there with his entire family, like, you know, when we
walked
in.
Eating at a table. He was eating at another table with a bunch of people. They all left, and he was still there.
Uh-huh.
So I guess somehow we were supposed to know, and by the way, it's Rumi's House of Kebab. Literal house.
Yeah, it is an actual house.
Much more house than it was kebab.
Yeah.
You're in, like, a living room.
Yeah, definitely more house than kebab. We were in a house, no kebab
exactly.
sticks. So
he comes over and he just starts saying, he says the normal, and I fucking hate that too. When you're at a restaurant and the manager comes over and is saying, how is everything? And they act real concerned, you know?
Right.
Oh my gosh, we can't wait to see you back. And then, but this guy was even, I don't understand why these managers and these waitresses and these hostesses and all this stuff are injecting themselves into your night. Can't you just go out with the people you want to go out with and have a night? I don't want these strangers in there taking up all my time.
It's all those people, like, to explain the layout a little bit, because it's a house, there are sort of two dining areas. One is like where a living room would be in a house,
uh-huh.
and then another is sort of upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And definitely if you want the private experience, you had to go upstairs, because you had to go up some
right.
serious stairs.
Yeah, because this pushy biatch would have had to walk up a whole flight of stairs. Well, it was an extra long flight of stairs, too.
Right.
To bring you anything. So maybe they compensate by treating the tables downstairs a little overly, and the ones upstairs, they underly.
Yeah, they sort of average it out between the two somehow.
That's all I can imagine. I don't know. I can't imagine that the people upstairs were getting the amount of over. Okay, so the manager comes over.
Right.
And he's worse than even a normal manager, because he wasn't much of a conversationalist.
No, he really wasn't.
Say, you want this? And my interpretation of the situation, he said a couple things and was just sitting there in silence, and you were eating a stew.
Yeah.
And so then you just kind of pulled out of nowhere, so, do you make this in a pot?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out the method of cooking this, and plus it's like there was this big gap where this man was standing there, and I thought I would ask him a question.
I thought, that's bullshit. I think you just asked it purely because you're like, what the fuck am I? Because he was standing right on top of you pretty much.
Yeah.
So you were like, well, I got to say something. So you're just like, as if that matters. Or what if he'd said, oh, actually a large deep pan.
Well, I was kind of hoping that there was some sort of exotic cooking method. You know, I was going on the off chance that maybe sure. it's like, yeah, well, it's not just a regular pot. It's a special Persian clay pot.
Right.
You know, like that looks, you know, like a beehive.
That maybe that would launch him into some kind of conversation. He'd say, oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Right.
But no, he just, yeah. Big pot.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, big pot. Takes
fucking
a long time.
Asshole.
Or I'm like, you know, and I wanted to be like a follow-up. It's like, you know, if you just used a crock pot, it'd be a lot easier. Just saying.
I know. Well, that's another thing they do at restaurants. Because, I was reading about this barbecue restaurant. And the guy's real fucking proud that he gets there at 5 in the morning to start
right.
everything going and all that stuff. Why does that matter to me? If it took you 10 minutes to make the best burger, I mean, how long does it take Wendy's to make a double stack? And that's better than, I don't know,
70%? I'll tell you how long. Too long.
Well, that's better than 70% of restaurant burgers, yet it takes 10 seconds. So I don't think the time is always the number one judgment. If it took you 40 hours to make a batch of fries, they're not going to be as good as the ones that took 3 hours.
Three, yeah. There's a sense in which it's sort of, the time length is somehow supposed to be impressive, because I think
yeah.
you're trying to impart how much suffering went into the work.
That doesn't
but
matter
that does,
to me.
No, I definitely, and it, especially not at a restaurant. It'd be
yeah.
different if I was like cooking, like if you were making pulled pork for somebody.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I started this early this morning.
Yeah.
Because this is like, I am doing this for you.
Well, it's free.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I know it took you from 5 in the morning, but I'm paying you money. So
exactly.
Fine. Maybe if you want to figure out a faster way to do it, that's kind of on you, I think.
Yeah, that's sort of, you know, embrace the 20th century technology of electricity and crock pots.
Yeah, because, well, if I make the pulled pork, that's not my normal job. This is
right.
This is a labor of love,
uh-huh.
not what I'm doing just because, oh, I got to make a fucking paycheck.
Right. But with this dinner, I still feel like I won in the end.
Yeah.
Because that late, like our waitress who pushed the soup on us.
Yeah.
When she came back and she saw a little bit of it left, she asked if we liked it or not.
Right.
And again, there was sort of the stunned silence. And she filled in the gap of the conversation saying, like, look, well, I kind of pushed it on you, so if you really don't like it, then
no,
I'll just
no,
give it
no,
to you.
No,
for-
no,
okay.
no, no, that is not what happened.
All right.
What happened is
what
she
happened.
Came back to the table. She
right.
said, is the soup good? Two of us said yes. You said yes. Then she said, because
right.
if it's not good, I'll give it to you for free. And then you said, okay, well, then no.
Yeah, I had the eye of the tiger.
And then so then you were so fucking proud when that check comes because we got a $2.50 soup for free.
I won.
$2.50 split three ways, so less than a dollar that you saved us on this soup.
Victory is mine.
Although I don't feel so bad for her just because we didn't want the soup.
Right.
It wasn't that it was bad, but we didn't fucking want it.
Exactly.
So you can't, I don't know.
Victory is mine.
So I was going to ask you about, I got my tax refund.
Okay.
Today. I was wondering if you remember my tax refund from last year.
I vaguely remember this, but you might want to tell our international audience. By the way, in America, we pay taxes.
They pay taxes everywhere.
Well, we... Okay,
anyone who doesn't pay taxes in a country is not in a country that has technology to pull this off the internet and put it in their ears.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
They're just wallowing in some jungle, sleeping under a big leaf, rolled up like that dalmau.
All right.
So this is the second year in a row that I got my check along with a notice. And when you get this notice, it looks kind of like an IRS bookmark.
Yeah, for says, like a very large book.
Yeah, and it says, about your refund check, ... So you're thinking, oh, fuck me. You know, it's going to say, by the way, this check is not real. This was our scam to get you to open this, which has agreed for you to come and be in IRS jail forever.
IRS jail forever, which we do have in America.
Whatever they,
with our taxes.
Whatever they do, I don't know. But, so I got the same thing last year, and I'll read just a short part of it. The amount of the enclosed refund check is different from the amount shown on your return. You should be receiving a notice in a few days that explains why the amount of the check is different and what additional information, if any, you may need to provide. So the check I got was larger than what I expected. So then at the bottom it says, if you are certain that the amount of the refund check is too high, please return the original check to the IRS service center where you filled out blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number one, they send you this notice telling you they're going to send you a notice explaining why the check is bigger.
Okay.
Number two, there is no amount of certain I could be where I would say, you know what? I think this is wrong, and my conscience is telling me that I am so sure that I am going to return the check and then a letter explaining why the amount is too high, after which they will send me the correct amount. Fuck that. No way. No way.
Now, knowing you and knowing most people, if the IRS adjusted your refund down, like gave you $10 less than you were supposed to get, you probably wouldn't even fight it.
I wouldn't. If they didn't put this thing in there, I wouldn't know.
Right.
I would not know. I mean, even though it was higher, I think I would know it was higher. But am I going to check? Hell no. I would say, hey, man, I didn't check. I don't know. I fill out the thing incorrectly, obviously, 2 years in a row.
Right.
I think at some point they might just say, let us do it, because we're doing it every year anyway. It's quicker if we don't have to undo the knot you made and then redo it the right way. We could just do it.
Next year they're going to send you just like a whole bunch of pamphlets from H&R Block or some other tax service and be like, yeah, listen, we'll go halfsies on you if you take your taxes in.
Yeah, they'll probably just send me a free copy of TurboTax.
Right, just
say, fuck it, we have some of these laying around. Quit screwing us on this thing.
Listen, we'll send you last year's TurboTax, so that way, you know, we got a whole bunch at a discount, so.
And I should have known, because I tried to do to e-file.
Okay.
And I'm a pretty experienced computer guy,
as
you would know by the beauty of my website.
Right.
But, I can fill out a fucking form online, fill in the box. I spent probably an hour, 10 minutes filling it out, 50 minutes clicking submit, and then a thing comes up saying you must fill in all the fields.
Right.
And I could not fucking figure out what field was blank. I did it all the way up to the end and couldn't figure it out. And so finally walked across the room, got the paper form.
Right.
And then copied what was on my computer screen onto the paper form and then sent it in.
So, yeah. So, basically, the e-file thing failed you.
Completely. Well, I apparently failed it because I didn't do the paper one right either. I would. There is a funny thing, too. Well, it was enraging.
Okay.
So, at my work, one of my jobs every year is ordering tax forms. We're one of the few places that has big station full of tax forms.
Yeah, you have huge piles of them all over the place.
Yeah, which you can't get in. They don't even send them out to individuals anymore.
Oh, no.
So you have to come to us. So That's one of my jobs. The federal forms, no problem.
Pretty easy.
They want you to fucking file your taxes. They're into that. They just want you to get it done.
Right.
State of Colorado tax. I don't know how we got our original set. We got an original set, burned through them almost immediately, and I spent the next 2 weeks trying to order more. So the process starts, I get on their website, which is worthless.
Uh-huh.
Because it's all about if I'm just me as a man, I can get a tax form sent to me.
Right.
But how to get a crate of tax forms, they're not really interested in. So I say, okay, I'll go to the contact page. On the contact page, you have the option to email someone or call this phone number. So I start with the email because I'm not in a huge rush at this point. And that way you have a trail to follow back. Well, the email is not actually an email. The email takes you to an FAQ page.
Oh, good.
And I don't even know if they understand that the F in FAQ stands for frequently and not just one time.
Ask questions!
Well, just some motherfucker just asked, at some point, asked this question. Somebody did one time, so we had better put it on our website. We have a webmaster who we hire to put all this shit up, and it's been asked one fucking time.
Okay, so basically the frequently asked questions didn't help you at all.
No, because none of them, I guess nobody's asking my question.
Right.
And it's not even a question, it's just, hey, we need more tax forms.
It's a request.
This is the infuriating thing to keep in mind. I'm trying to help people pay them.
Right.
This would be like if I ran a branch of your company, and I could not do any more transactions until I got more receipt paper.
Right.
And you made it impossible for me to order receipt paper.
I guess I want to know like what they're trying to prevent by making it hard to order a whole bunch of tax forms.
Well, I have a theory, but it requires... So there's no email option. That's out.
All right.
So then I dial the phone number.
Okay.
Which is nightmarish. Because I know I'm going to need to speak to a real person, which is always, you know, so you get on... First thing you have to listen to is a 10-second commercial about how the IRS, you should e-file because it's faster. I don't need to hear because that does not apply to my situation at all.
Anyone who's calling the IRS, by the way, either knows they're supposed to e-file. No one sits on there on the phone and is like, you know, e-filing, that's the way to go.
You're on the phone. You can't e-file on the phone.
You can't do it there.
It's so stupid. So then I call and you have to navigate these menus.
Uh-huh.
And none of them indicate, you know, if you're trying to order a bulk tax form. So I kind of just pick something at random. And every time you switch a menu, it takes you to the beginning of a new menu, which also tells you the best way to e-file and that you should try using their email thing at whatever.gov, which I did.
Okay.
And that was that FAQ that was the, hey, one time I had a dog who fell in a ditch and I found some money when I was getting his corpse out of the ditch, but I used all that money to buy school supplies for my son, and I put in memory of our dog on it. Do I need to pay taxes on that five?
Right. Now, what's the answer to that question?
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Well, yes, but only if the son was born under the waning moon, not the waxing moon.
It doesn't even matter.
Right.
That's I call the number, and finally, I figure out the right combination of buttons that'll get me to, if you want to speak to a person, because I know if I can just talk to someone, they can redirect me to where I actually need to be.
Now, this would be, as a side note, and again, to return to the White Power podcast part.
Okay.
That do you think if you spoke Spanish, you would always push the Spanish thing because it would go straight to a person?
No Spanish.
Okay, so there wasn't even the option.
No. All the menus are in English, so it's not like... Tengo una pregunta, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, I mean, if you say, for Spanish, where they say press 2 or press 9 or something.
Yeah, but it's in English.
Okay.
So you would never know if you were a fluent Spanish speaker, you'd never fucking know how to get there.
Right.
And there was no option.
I'm just saying hypothetically, do you think if there were, in those menus, not this menu, where there was an option, you press Spanish and you go straight to a person?
Going through this phone tree is like being in the Minotaur's maze. And that hypothetical is like saying, well,
if there were
if you went through a secret passageway, you could get to a spike pit where the spikes were a slightly different size.
All right.
I mean, I don't think it would do me any good.
Okay.
So then I get to the thing where you can talk to a person.
All right.
And This was the worst part of the whole fucking thing.
So let me guess, this person is super helpful.
There's no person.
Okay, oh good.
It takes you to a thing, you hear a little bit of hold music, and then you get the most infuriating fucking message I've heard in my entire life, which is, I'm going to try and remember just about exactly what it said, but convey the spirit.
All right.
It was something along the lines of, thanks for calling the IRS. Our phone lines are very busy. So, rather than take your call now and just have you sit on hold, we're going to automatically hang up on you so you can call back later. Because of this system, you will only have to be on hold for maybe 15 minutes instead of 45 minutes to an hour.
Not counting the 45 minutes to an hour you've already been on hold.
No, not counting the 3 fucking days between when I make the call, finally get through someone, and then build up the courage to call again.
Okay.
I'm on my knees under my desk, wailing, hitting the phone. What they're saying is, rather than be on hold for an hour, you wait for an hour, not on hold, then call back, then maybe they'll allow you to get in line to be on hold to wait 15 minutes to talk to somebody.
Now, this is all for the state tax forms, then,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
This is for me, again, trying to say, hey, can I get a couple boxes of tax forms so that people can pay their taxes?
Right.
For fuck's sake. I just want to help you. I'm trying to help you.
Because if you don't get those tax forms, the pet overpopulation fund will not get its donations this year.
I hate that shit, too, where it says these different funds. I always cross those out with the thickest black line that I can find. I mean, Special Olympics, fuck off. There was one that was something like the Lost Horse Fund or something. Which,
right.
How many stray horses have you seen walking around, fucking around, out in downtown?
You know, it was so hard for me to get here today because I was just dodging stray horses on the street all day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I cannot walk down the street with my bag of sugar cubes without just getting horse molested.
Just the other day, I'm walking around in the park and I stepped in a huge pile of horse shit from these loose horses running
just
around.
Just everywhere. Now, just to explain very quickly, the front of the Colorado tax form basically asks like 4 questions that are relevant to most people, which are, what's your name? Are you dead?
Right.
Did you make any money this year? Can we have some?
I don't understand why you can't just, you get that.
And then the backside is a big list of non, like, charitable organizations where you can donate your refund to them. And they're all crazy things like we just said. So that's just to clarify.
And if you, on your federal tax form, there's one box that's like presidential campaign fund.
Right.
If you check that box, kill yourself. Kill yourself. There's no reason to check that box. If there's some president that you like, donate a dollar to him. Whatever. I mean, that's pretty horrible. Also, kill yourself. But if you're checking the box on your tax to pay for money, to pay for shit commercials you don't even want to see, and for him to wear some fucking stupid suit and stand at some shitty fucking podium behind a big screen of his own dumb fucking face, kill yourself.
All right, so now you've just told people to not donate to their favorite candidate.
Ever. No. Do you think they would donate a dollar to save your life?
No.
If they could donate $1 to save your life, do you think they'd do it?
I don't think they would.
If no one would find out about it.
I don't think they would sign their name to anything or even be like, hey, would you like Ian to die? All you have to do is sort of nod your head. Not die. All you have to do is sort of nod your head and they go, just nothing.
Yeah,
no movement.
Complete blank.
Right.
So eventually, this is when I start to get clever.
Okay.
So it lists,
took a while.
On the website, it does list the walk-in help locations.
All right.
But it doesn't give phone numbers because they don't want you to call them.
Okay.
They do not want you to call them to get help. They want you to physically go there.
All right.
So I get on Google and I type in the addresses hoping that I'll get a phone number.
Okay.
So I have a couple busts and then I get one that works. So I call and I say, hey, this is going to sound insane, but just hear me out.
All right.
I work at a library. I'm trying to get more tax forms, Colorado State forms. I cannot get through to anybody. If you can help me in any way, get in touch with somebody, an email, a phone number, anything you could do would be great.
Now I'm going to take a guess. This person is spectacularly wonderful and helpful.
What?
Okay, so that's true.
That's what I get after what I thought was a pretty... I'm doing it a little more emotionally right now because I'm pretty upset. But at the time, I think, I was kind of like, Hi, my name is Peter, and my last name. I'm a librarian. I'm trying to get tax forms, which we stock at our building, but I'm all out, and I cannot seem to get through to anybody.
And then you got annoyed duck.
What?
Right.
So then, you know, and I completely re-explain again, and she says, we're having tax forms at the library now? Which, as long as I've been alive, has been a thing.
I don't understand. Like, where do you think she got her tax form? I guess she works for the state, so she just probably has
this
a tax form.
This bitch works at the walk-in help center.
Okay.
How is she going to help? She doesn't even know. If you walked in and said, could I get forms at the library? She would say, what? She wouldn't help you at all.
So this is like, this is a duck, like on an episode of The Simpsons. This is Stuart helping you.
Yeah, it's some piece of shit who does no idea.
Right.
So she says, well, I'll transfer you to someone. So I get transferred.
You get transferred to the duck who's like carrying the wagon around with all the tax forms in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I leave a message. Of course, it goes nowhere. So I say, all right, fuck this noise. So then I get on the Colorado State Treasurer's website.
Okay.
I find send us an email thing.
Right.
Write a long, insane diatribe about how the service is unacceptable and end with something like, also, I would really like to get more forms if that's possible in any way.
Now, I do have to ask, you probably didn't keep track of this, but how many periods did you use when you wrote this? Like two?
I tried to be restrained.
Okay.
And professional, because I was, you know, sending it from a professional stance, and I really
right.
did want the forms, but I also did want them to know, like, this is fucked up. So, but instead of fucked up, I used my thesaurus. I typed in fucked up, and it
right.
comes up with unacceptable or something incorrigible or whatever.
I like how incorrigible is the synonym for fucked up somehow.
I don't know.
Right.
So then that's the first response I get was from
okay.
some guy at this office, which is so insane to say, you know what the best way to get your tax form? Email the treasurer angrily
right.
and demand tax forms, and he'll forward you to someone who can help. So he forwards me to someone who, again, couldn't help.
Okay.
So my last hope. So I'm looking at these tax centers. One is in a city, a nowhere city, middle of fucking nowhere.
Right.
Population 10. So I say to myself, all right, they got nothing to do. They're going to answer the phone. They're going to help me out.
Okay.
So I call, I explain my situation, and the lady says, huh, yeah, well, I guess you probably tried to call the state, but it seems like no one can get through.
Yeah.
And so I said, is this your address? Because I'm going to come there and marry you immediately. So she sends me forms, and we finally get our fucking forms. Now, if these run out,
right.
we will again be fucked.
Then people will have to find some other way to get their forms.
I think I'm just going to tell them, just make an estimate. Just send whatever you sent last year.
Just send the same number of McDonald's gift certificates.
Yeah. What do you
stuffed in an envelope, like pell-mell.
Yeah.
And, you know, put a stamp on it and,
yeah.
you know, just write Colorado on the front of the envelope.
What are they going to do? You don't pay the tax, then you just say, I don't have it. End of discussion.
Be like, I don't have the form.
Yeah. So that was my
your tax adventure.
Pete's excellent bogus tax journey house times two.
Yeah, so basically if the streets continue to be overrun with stray horses and dead veteran corpses because we didn't fund the veterans
mm-hmm.
Western Slope Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
Veteran Cemetery, we know who to blame.
Yeah, I guess it'll be me.
Right.
When horses are stomping on mushing dead veterans' corpses.
Exactly.
All over the streets.
Exactly.
And that's fine. I'm fine living in that world. I can deal with that.
It's just going to make driving so hard with horses and dead vets.
You just ride the horses.
Hmm.
If there were this many horses, we wouldn't need fucking light rail.
That's true. Maybe.
You just get on whatever horse is convenient. Ride him around for a while.
Just hope he's going the same way you are.
Well, who cares? If you're late for work, you say, hey, man, this horse thing is insane. This has not worked out well.
There was a goddamn carrot truck driving down the street, and all
yeah,
the horses
yeah.
just went running. It was a stampede, I tells you.
There was
a
guy who sort of looked like that oatmeal guy, and he got all up in a whirlwind. Or there was, you know what? Some fucking asshole put barrels out in the street, and he just kept running circles around the barrels all day. I am so dizzy and nauseous, I can't even stand.
Right, I can't come to work. Be sure if I, but if I die here, be sure to bury me in the veteran cemetery.
Yeah. So, I have to pee.
Okay, good.
We got a great comment, I think, on our, you may remember our previous episode where we discussed me shitting at work.
Okay, yeah.
And we got a pretty good sort of a letter about it. So if you wanted to read that,
all right,
that would be awesome.
Okay, so we got a letter from, it doesn't have any names up here. So we will call him Goober. All right, so Goober sends us an email, a little letter here that says, "As soon as I finished listening to episode 2 of Helpful Snowman, I needed to take a shit." Good way to start, Goober. "I'm at work, and like your story, we have one of those toilets that no matter how you situate yourself, there's no way to make a water landing. Also, the boss brings in his 4-year-old son from time to time as well, and he doesn't flush. Kids love to flush keys and such, but their own fudge sticks and the half roll of toilet paper they use, the stuff that they're supposed to flush, fuck that. So finding Fudgy the Caramel Whale is not an uncommon occurrence. I have wiped the inside of the bowl with a wad of TP myself, much like Mr. Snowman described, but that's beside the point. Also beside the point, how did a snowman get a sweet library job with employee-only unisex restrooms? What we have that is odd at my place of work is a cat. A cat that loves toilet water. He will wait outside of the bathroom door and immediately go into the urinal to get a taste of what you're brewing. Sometimes he hides in the bathroom and sneaks up on you when you're going. Anyway, on this particular visit, I walk in, switch on the lights, and boom! There are dirty paw prints all over the seat and inside the bowl of the crapper.
Yeah.
Prints of all sorts of colors. It could have been all the dirt from running him running around outside. But then again, he could have maybe gotten into the remains of a fudgy in the bowl too. So now I'm holding one, trying to get through the day, or at least until someone else, like the man who started feeding the fucking stray cat, cleans it up."
Thank you.
Okay.
See, this is someone who feels my pain, and I like that. I do have some... This is an odd workplace. You know what I'm not a fan of is someone like a... This happened a lot in school.
Right.
A teacher would have to bring in their dumb kid because the kid had the day off, but the teacher didn't.
Okay.
So the kid would be supposed to occupy themselves coloring for 7 hours or whatever.
You know, when I worked at a place where... This woman brought in her kid because the kid was sick.
Yeah, well, that
the kid was sick
great.
Home from school. Like, the kid had pink eye or something.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, like, why are you bringing the kid here?
Right, he's healthy enough to go to a work, but not school.
Right, and I was like, okay, you brought him to a place, a room full of people with no health insurance. Way to go.
Yeah, unless you work at a beanbag factory.
Right.
You can just pass out in a corner somewhere and get covered in beanbags and millipedes.
Exactly.
But otherwise, I don't think that's going to work out very well.
Yeah, and she also didn't like me referring to her kid as Typhoid Mary, but that's another story.
Was it a boy?
Yeah.
Oh, well then, she's, what would you call that, sexist?
Maybe I should have called him Typhoid Mark.
Genderist or something?
Sure.
I wonder... I'm not a big fan of people there bringing their pets to work either.
Yeah.
Especially a cat. I don't know. There's sometimes you go in a store and it has its charm where there's an old dog just laying on the fucking floor.
I guess it, like, I don't mind if someone brings in their dog. If it's like, if you're like dropping something off on a Friday or Saturday, like you're just kind of going in and out, or like your dog is sort of just hanging out outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Well, yeah, you don't have to create. I mean, there are obvious... You know, there's a fucking hurricane outside. Yes, the dog can come inside.
Right.
I mean, as a general practice, when you're at work, just be at work.
And why
play
would
with
you
your fucking dog at home.
And why would you bring your cat anywhere?
I don't know. I don't think they want to go. I was cat sitting one time, cat and dog sitting.
Right.
And the one cat, they were outside, inside cats.
Uh-huh.
So every time you would, if you left a car door open, the cat would jump in the car every time.
Jump in the car?
Just jump in, look around, right. Smelling around.
Checking out the new place.
Yeah, and so I was staying over there, but so, you know, a lot of times I'd be taking some of my shit back to my place or whatever. So it had,
right.
Every fucking time I'd be parked, putting something in the car, the cat would jump in the car. And then I had to, you know, lean in and get it out, and doesn't want to be. So finally, one night.
So it was basically responding like a tax reform lady.
Yeah. What are you doing? So then one night, I'm just going to go from the house I'm sitting at to my place and immediately back to the house. So the cat jumps in the car and I say, all right, motherfucker, we'll just go for a ride.
Okay.
So we get about 20 feet away from the house, and the cat is panicking.
Okay.
Its eyes are gigantic. It's making sounds that, you know, a cat makes a sound that sometimes sounds like a kid who fell down a well or something. It's like, yeah, yeah. And it's just going and going and going, and its claws are out, and it's just sitting on the seat like it's going to turn upside down, and it would still be, if we rolled the car,
it would be
suspended
still attached
from
to the
top.
Seat. Okay.
It's in complete panic, and I'm laughing my ass off until I start to think, you know, I don't know, do cats start just peeing and shitting when they're scared?
Right.
Because if they do, joke's on me. Because he'll get out, he'll be fine. He doesn't know that I'm not going to just drive us into a giant grinder or something. But I know that if he pees and shits in my car, it's going to smell forever.
Right.
So I did turn around and take him back. And then he didn't get in the fucking car anymore. People with these dogs and cats, I have to say, because I did a lot of dog sitting.
Uh-huh.
Everyone says the same thing. They'll say, well, he usually gets up at about 3 in the morning to go pee. And then at about 4:30, he'll want to be fed. And then at 8 o'clock, he'll just keep bothering you until you take him for a walk.
Okay, so he's got a schedule somehow.
He's got a schedule, but it's not at all related to his human counterparts, his owners. It's called an owner, by the way.
Okay.
You own this dog.
Right.
What else do you own that determines... When you owned a slave, you wouldn't say, you know what? I would have liked to have started doing all the stuff we do with the cotton, whatever that was. I'd like to start at about 7. But these slaves, they get up at 5:30 and they're scratching at the door ready to go.
They want to pick that cotton now.
No, yeah, you just tell them, go back to sleep. I own you. We'll start when I'm ready. The dog, same thing.
Right.
And you're not even making him work.
This is, by the way, yet another Return to the White Power podcast.
I know.
Jeez.
I didn't say they were black slaves. This could have been a white slave.
This could have been like ancient Rome where you just had captives
from
Jewish the other
slave
army.
Or something.
Okay, sure.
Just slaves in general.
A golem, perhaps.
Well, I guess I did say cotton.
Right.
That makes it a problem.
They weren't picking a lot of cotton in ancient Rome.
You know what? I know that I'm not a racist because I watched Roots in its entirety.
Yeah, that makes you...
by choice, but I did.
Jesse Jackson wants to give you a hug now.
Fuck Jesse Jackson. Okay. But the point being, if you own something, you don't treat it as the determiner.
It should be the thing setting your schedule for you.
You set the schedule for the dog.
Right.
Which is what I would do. By the time they came back, I had the dog trained. Where I would say, the dog would get up and be ready to go for a walk, and I'd say, all right, I'll get up. I would get up, walk him into another room, close the door, and go back to fucking bed.
Okay.
What the hell difference does it make to a dog if he goes for a walk at 11 or 8?
I guess it really doesn't if the dog is house trained. I mean, he might crap on the floor, but
you know what, though? I'll take my chances.
Yeah, especially because it's not your floor.
I'd rather clean up a couple pee for a couple weeks,
right,
than get up every day at 5:30 for the rest of this dog's life.
Hmm.
God forbid, and it could live for 20 years. You know what I mean?
So do the owners ever complain about the dog getting up way too early? Or
no, okay. They just say, this is kind of what he's used to. They never tell you that. They tell you that because there's the part where you agree to dog sit.
Right.
And then there's an awkward thing where they usually make you come over to the house and show you where everything is instead of just leaving like a note. Because, you know, how many objects are there going to be? There's food, there's water. And then they always do this to the help yourself to anything in the kitchen.
Okay.
There's never anything in there that's not, oh my gosh, a whole side of bacon already cooked?
You've got this whole side of bacon and this 25-year-old whiskey.
Yeah,
like
no.
There's never anything like
it's
that.
It's a half a thing of regular Cheerios and some rice.
Well, it has happened to me before where someone was house sitting, like a friend of mine was house sitting in college.
Yeah.
And he was house sitting for this professor, and I came over there so we could play some Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay.
Okay.
You've mentioned Star Wars on this show an awful lot because in your real life you don't really talk about it. But
yeah, but it's just it's mostly trying to explain why I was over there.
Okay.
But like they had a really nice house,
mm-hmm.
and they had mostly what they said we could have, you know, were was anything in the liquor cabinet.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't like the nice stuff, which was in the like we found the things that were sort of had bows and were wrapped, and we didn't have that. But they had. You know, like those Pepsi-style bottle cooler things?
Yeah, yeah.
They had one of those, but full of, like, beer and Mike's Hard Lemonades and,
that's
you know,
pretty cool.
Just all kinds of stuff. It was really dangerous, though, when we were drinking because it was all the little slots were designed for Pepsi bottles, which
oh,
are kind of
so
wide.
Quite fit.
Yeah, and these were all kind of narrow, so, like, when you took out a bottle, instead of it sort of sliding down to a stop, it would sort of slide and fall out.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're starting off in the night, you're like, oh, I'll try and catch this.
Yeah.
When you've had a few drinks, you're like, when you have a few drinks, it sort of slides into your hands. You're like, oh, man, the cabin is telling me to drink more.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you're just like, you know, you
this
have
bottle
like,
just fell into
you
my
have
arms.
Three bottles. Like you have two bottles. You do the same thing where you're like, you pull out one bottle and then another bottle slides down. And you're like, well, I'll take this one, too. But then the bottle behind that slides and you've got your hands full of two bottles and you just. I watched a beer bottle fall to the floor.
Right.
And I never felt so helpless in my entire life. You know, I understand
it's
how
Meryl... It's like that I Love Lucy.
Yeah, I understand how Meryl Streep felt in Sophie's Choice where she was told by the Nazis to give up either the son or the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I watched my daughter fall to the floor.
Does she do the son or the daughter?
I've never seen it. It was the daughter, I think, actually. You're right.
That she gave up?
Yeah, she gave up the daughter.
I have no idea. I'm just asking.
Yeah,
why?
She gave up the daughter. I don't remember if they why in the movie, but it's just like the Nazis showed up and said, listen, you can only take one of your kids.
Was the daughter older or younger?
They were both little kids.
Oh, okay.
So
Maybe the son, she's thinking, this kid's developing a pretty nice little dick here.
Right.
He's got a future.
She probably thought that miniature Wang would help him survive the Holocaust.
I don't know. Something.
Right.
If you have to pick, you have to come up with some kind of a reason, right?
Yeah.
That you could always lean on. You can say, well, hey, he had a nice thing going. I wanted to see how that worked out.
I guess it might have been that the daughter, like as she was being carried away by the Nazi, was like screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
Which I think would have been terrible. But if the boy had walked away and wasn't crying at all,
mm-hmm.
you'd have felt like even worse because he's like, so mad at you, he can't even express it.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's like, screw it. Gas chamber's better off, you know?
Yeah, but if that was the choice, I'd pick that kid. I'd say, well, he doesn't give a fuck. I mean,
right.
If the boy was 14, if he was me at 14,
right.
And I'm thinking, well, things are not going to get much better here.
So
you might as well go to the gas chamber.
Yeah, but as the parent where you never know, like the kid's not going to come and tell you. The kid just walks off in silence.
I suppose.
You know, like obediently. You'd be like, man, that kid walked off obediently to his death to save his sister. Should have saved the other one. Damn it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You would take the kid who said, I'll go. And you'd be like, okay, well, you can stay.
Right. It's sort of a paradox thing.
You should have gone, you asshole.
Right. Where he, you know, the valiant one is going to stay, but while the
why didn't she
cowardly
just
one
give birth to a third kid that she's not that attached to and just give him that one?
Yeah, it would have been kind of weird when she goes, you know, to the doctor and you're like, what would you like to name this one? Sacrifice?
It doesn't matter.
Chattel.
A really sacrificial, Jesus.
Right.
He's going to die for us. I did have a story here that I found online that made me pretty pissed off. That
pissed
would be
off.
More funny if you knew what it was about.
Okay.
It's about peeing.
Yeah, you're good at that.
So are you familiar with this event called Carnival or Carnival? Spelled exactly the same.
It's the thing where people like dress up in crazy costumes and floats.
Yeah.
And this is in Brazil or?
Yeah, because it's in Rio de Janeiro where they're having the Olympics.
All right.
Which is so 214 people were arrested at Carnival in their zero tolerance for pissing, that part's in quotes, campaign. I'm assuming that's a translation.
Zero tolerance for pissing, so they just have to hold it until the Olympics are over.
Yeah, and the big quote from the guy in charge there is, we are going to constantly fight those urinating in the street. The crackdown on public urination comes after officials installed portable toilets at Carnival hotspots, though long lines at the new bathrooms might indicate need for more toilets. It's also that part of the broader effect to clean up Rio de Janeiro before the 2016 Olympic Games.
Now, so, yeah, I have one thing that they said they're going to fight public urination.
Right.
Now, do you think like they let the public urinators put their dicks back in their pants before they have to fight them? You know, like,
oh, I don't think they're fist fighting them. I think they're.
I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it just be the worst thing? Like, you're peeing in the street and
cock out fighting.
Well, like, you're just peeing. You're just standing there minding your own business. Then all of a sudden, you're sort of being picked up by both arms by two policemen, and you've got your cock hanging out, still trying to piss. Like, hey, what's going on?
I think I would not put it away because that would be maybe a way of resisting arrest without resisting.
Right.
I put my hands up and just say, okay, you know, come get me, and I'm just, my dick is still out.
Right.
Maybe even my pants fall down, so I'm completely pantsless. But, yeah. You know, I'm like, oh, listen, I don't want to make any moves here. Just come get me.
And, you know, that would be like,
don't mind if I get hard as you're walking towards right. me. Every step they come, you know how in a Bugs Bunny cartoon, he would walk and the moon would go down or something, and then he'd take a step back and it comes up a little bit. It's like that. Every step they take to me, I get a little more hard, and then they take a step away, and it goes down.
Okay, so basically they have to somehow approach you really quickly.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
no,
get
if they
impaled.
Run up, then I'm just fully hard.
Okay.
That's what Bugs Bunny did, too. He'd go faster, and it just kept going faster, so I'd just be fully hard.
Well, I think that would might backfire. If I remember correctly, like he would do something goofy, and then the moon would break or freak out, so they would run at you, like go run back and forth until your dong breaks.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Until it just shatters.
Yeah.
So I have a pretty strong opinion on this because everyone knows, you know, that you can get charged as being a sex offender for peeing outside.
Right.
I am into peeing outside, not because, and this is part of this whole story. They're trying to crack down on this peeing outside.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the problem is people peeing outside. The problem is you get fucking wasted and then you have to pee.
You have to pee right away, too.
So they're fine with everyone. As long as you're walking around wasted as fuck full of piss, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But the second you go to pee, it's a real big deal.
I guess I don't understand like what the problem is like if you've made some kind of reasonable thing. You know, like if you go behind it, like in an alley behind a dumpster, you know, you're not pissing on someone's house or, you know.
I would just make this argument.
Okay.
They say you're a sex offender.
Right.
Impossible to pee with a boner.
Yeah, I agree.
So how is that a sex? It's not my choice that I both have sex and pee with the same device. If I could if I could pee out of my butt and use the penis just for sex, I would do that.
What, you don't use your butt in sex?
I don't, no.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't even use it for, like, leverage.
Oh.
I shoot it up with a numbing solution
so
that I cannot, it doesn't even feel like I have a butt.
All right.
It's really distracting and very hard to finish.
Okay, so you basically have to shoot up your, you jab a needle into your ass before you have sex every time.
This is why I only have sex maybe once a quarter.
Okay, fair enough.
That's how long it takes me to store up the drugs that I need.
All right, but for the rest of us, who use our penises for both.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not a choice, though, to use your penis for both. You just have to.
Right.
That's where it comes out. But if you're peeing, you can't possibly have a boner.
Right.
And I know there are some people who fetishize pissing.
Right.
So I get what you're saying. But there are people who fetishize fucking a dog.
True.
So you can't just say you can't be out with your dog. Or what if your dog has a boner? I find a dog boner more offensive than a guy just peeing.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of like reasonable, you know, again, it's that sort of reasonable thing. Like I remember that cops in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where like the guy was peeing on a cop car. Where like that guy,
okay, well,
that guy should
obviously
probably get a ticket. You know, it's like that guy's like, but that guy probably crosses over from a level of normal drunk to super drunk.
Well, I don't think that's a sex offense though.
No, it's not
that's
a sex offense. But
I'm fine with a ticket.
Right.
I mean, because they can give you a ticket for jaywalking. They're not going to bother.
Right, and they, like if they give you a ticket for public urination, it's not like that's going to disqualify you from an, you know, a job later on.
Well, what are you supposed to do if you're out in the city?
Right.
Every fucking more signs, restaurants that don't even have a sign that tell you what the restaurant is will say no public bathroom.
Right.
Every place is saying don't pee here, you may not pee here, you know, just pee anywhere but here.
Right. They're sort of saying you can't. They're not telling you where you can pee, just where you can't pee.
Yeah, there's nowhere to pee. So where are you supposed to go? They don't give you options. Or I was out jogging.
Right.
And sometimes, if I'm out for a long time, halfway through, I might have to pee.
Right.
So I'm at the park, and so I go out of my way
Uh-huh.
Go on a little extra jog. You know, it's nighttime. God knows there could be any kind of a stalker or a stabber or a slicer hiding in the playground equipment.
Right.
But I go past the playground equipment to get to the bathroom.
Which is probably even a better place for a stalker,
I was thinking when I was getting ready to open the door, right, this would be the ideal. Of course, there's no sort of light in there. No, uh-huh, nothing. And, you know, I'm just waiting for Candyman.
Right.
To come in, slice my dick off, and walk away. All because I was trying to pee, not outside. So I get to the, it's an outhouse, and it's contained in sort of a big fence.
Right.
3/4 of it surrounded by a fence. The city has turned the outhouse around so that the door side is not accessible.
Right.
So they're saying there will be no peeing at this outhouse. That, to me, is a message of, well, pee outside.
Now, it is kind of amazing. Like, I remember seeing that outhouse and being kind of impressed that someone managed to sort of turn that outhouse around.
They must have pulled it all the way out.
Inside the
turned
cage.
It, and then pushed it back in.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting sort of, you know,
Dr. Mario move.
It's like an sort of that interesting physics problem, you know, like how do you do this without, like, this geometry thing of how do you do this without, you know,
I have no
without
idea.
Breaking this or folding it. You're like,
it doesn't seem possible.
It seems amazing that the same state that can't send tax forms manages to do this right. Magical geometry feat.
It was like if you've ever seen, they have two horseshoes attached by chains and there's a ring in the middle and
right.
Somehow you can twist them around and free the ring.
It's like that.
Yeah.
But a shit version.
So I just, you know, and then you just pee wherever, but what am I supposed to do? Or I can remember another time we were abroad.
Oh, yes.
It was New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And we were abroad. It was a big city, so packed.
I think it's worth telling people what the city was.
It was Berlin.
Okay.
So it was packed. I mean, they have a big New Year's thing there.
And right.
The entire streets were just full of people, trash fucking everywhere. The gutters are just lined with bottles and cups and
just
that kind
everything.
Of shit.
I mean, it's Germany on New Year's, so you know
there was goddamn trash
drunk.
On Hitler's grave. You know what I mean? Hitler's bunker where he killed himself. There was so much trash that there was some even on top of there.
Right,
everywhere.
People are just having the time.
So we were having an okay time, pretty good time.
Right.
I had a champagne bottle. I popped the cork and hit some old lady in the arm with it.
Yeah,
and she looked at me sort of angry and hurt.
Right.
So, but I wasn't loaded. You know, mm-hmm. I was drinking, but...
Not drunk.
We hadn't been there that long, and I wanted to make sure I could get us back where the fuck we were going.
Yeah, you definitely learned that trip that you had to be the one to get us around.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
The sober walker driver.
Right.
So I had to pee. And
uh-huh.
So it's 1 a.m. in a foreign city. Nothing's fucking open. I mean, nothing was open in that city past 9.
Yeah,
it was hard
generally.
To even eat anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So there's nowhere to go. So I'm thinking, all right, it's New Year's. Everyone's wasted. There's shit everywhere. I'm just going to pee.
Right.
I'm going to find a discreet location to pee. So I kind of walk off into where there's not so many people.
Now, that's a really hard thing to find because everything is really well lit. Everything is
packed
full of people.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be like if you
everywhere.
Went to a Super Bowl and you had to pee, but you couldn't use the bathroom.
Right.
So you'd be walking around, but there's just someone's everywhere. So finally I find a place that's kind of dark. There's a bush. I mean, it's not a concealing kind of bush. It's a dead bush. It's the middle of winter. There's no foliage on it.
It seems kind of like it's about, I'm trying to remember this correctly, probably about waist height. Not like concealing.
Not
like, yeah, like barely waist height.
If I stood in the middle of the bush, the tallest branch would not have reached the tip of my penis.
Okay, so.
So, but I found a place, started peeing.
Right.
Of course, immediately when I start peeing.
Wait, there's something you should add to this that you were trying to do your, where are you trying
well,
to do your walk-in peeing?
Not yet.
Okay.
So I start peeing, and then some people come out of nowhere.
Okay.
Out of the darkness, you know.
All right.
Flying out. And so out of respect for them, I don't want them to see me peeing.
Right.
So in order to be discreet, I start walking while peeing, which I've done before successfully.
Several times.
Yeah. So I'm walking, I'm peeing, and I think everything's going pretty well.
Right.
So then I finish peeing, and I've left this trail.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good move if you can get it, because I think from a distance, if someone sees you walking, they just assume you're not peeing.
It's disconcerting when you're walking next to someone.
Yeah, who just starts peeing.
Because it's like all of a sudden they spring a leak and you're like,
right.
Holy shit, what? Huh? You're leaking.
Yeah, and it has that distinct sound, but it's not getting farther away. It's keeping up with you.
Right.
So I zip up everything, entire leg of my pants soaked in pee. Soaked.
Just
huge dark, and I'm wearing sort of khaki colored pants, so it's soaked in pee.
And it's obvious. It looks like he peed his pants.
Oh, yeah,
because
it starts
in
the crotch.
It cannot be anything else.
It starts at the crotch. The crotch is soaked, and it goes slowly diminishes down the leg.
Yeah.
Sometimes you spill something on your thigh and you think it looks bad, but then you're saying, okay, it originates mid-thigh. No one's going to really think this is pee.
Right. Okay.
And they're mature, but this was obviously pee.
Right. And it's not like if you sometimes get that little dribble that's right in the crotch space where it's, you know, it's pee, but it's very small and totally concealable, you know?
I just don't get, you know, the rules. Why is that a rule? Every penis is a sex object.
Right.
I think there's a... My penis is probably 90% of the time not being used for anything sexual.
Right, it's mostly...
It's just there.
It's mostly used to hold your jeans up.
My penis?
Yeah. I assume so.
No, God,
Isn't that what you use yours for?
No, doesn't have a sort of hooked end that I loop up through the fly and then back around in the top. Like a ring of flesh that holds it tight.
That is why the ladies call me Captain Hook.
So we have kind of a... Since you've last been on the show, a new feature.
Okay.
And this is, since no one's been sending us questions, I decided to be proactive.
Yeah, okay.
By that, I don't mean use acne medicine, which, if they'd like to be a sponsor,
definitely.
I think I have a face that's very ready for proactive sponsoring.
Definitely a good before face.
Yeah. I'm a good before and the after. You feel free to do whatever you want.
Photoshop.
Yeah. It's a before and then it's Jessica Simpson.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if she's wearing mom jeans. Her face is still fine.
Okay.
So what this is I got on Yahoo Answers, not Yahoo Questions, and I got some questions.
All right.
I don't know why it's questions and it's... Okay. So
it
I got
on
there...
It does seem kind of like... Okay, but I it got, seems... Go ahead.
I got some questions, and I thought we could give these people advice. Maybe they'll hear it through the inner tubes, maybe not, but I think it's good for everyone. It's instructional.
You know, anyone who's going to Yahoo for a question, like for desperate help,
these
are help.
These
so.
Fucking idiots, too.
Yeah, they...
Some of the questions on there I have to skip because it'll say, how much does a six-pack of Guinness cost? Now, keep in mind, in order to do this, there are two ways you can do this. You can... Fire up your computer.
Right.
Go to yahoo.com, which I do not recommend.
Okay.
Log in, because you have to log in to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Type up your question, categorize it, put all these different things, submit it, then return repeatedly to look at the answer. Or
Occam's razor here.
Google and just type in, how much does a six-pack of Guinness cost? And you'll get an estimation. And what's the answer going to be? $500? It's going to be somewhere between $7 and $12, right?
You know, Occam's razor comes in here where the simplest explanation is the best. And
yeah.
The easiest thing probably to do is to walk to your local liquor store and just look. You know, that seems like a logical thing.
There was another one, too, that said, do you guys hate KFC?
Yes.
I mean...
Or no.
It didn't make any sense.
Okay.
So I printed out some, you know, some betters than others. And
right.
I have five, so maybe I'll give you a quick what they're about, and you can pick which one sounds the best.
Okay.
One is about wearing, one's about dress code at Wendy's.
All right.
One is about a more general question about Arby's.
Oh, God.
One is a question about whiskey.
Okay, I think that's you have some expertise there.
One question I'll just read. What should I call the theater I'm building on Venus?
The Venetian.
And the last one has to do with the recent earthquakes in Japan.
You know, I think, considering I answered number four already.
Okay.
You know, where I think, even though Venetian is supposed to be about Venice and not Venus, I think that's close enough.
I think it works,
yeah. Yeah, it totally works.
Okay.
It's a good classy name, too.
Yeah.
I'll go see some of the Venetian.
I'm going to put a check mark by that.
I think that's a good answer.
Your question's been answered, dum-dum.
Right. I'd kind of like to hear about Arby's.
Okay. It's pretty short. This is a good warm-up question, maybe.
All right.
Arby's restaurant, and this is another thing, too. There's obviously no one's editing these, so this has six question marks.
That means it's an urgent question, or it's you know, it seems like you'd have six question marks after meaning of life.
Yeah.
You know, that not Arby's restaurant?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
How is Arby's restaurant? Everyone tells me they got food poisoning after eating it. How about you guys? So I guess the question is, have you been poisoned by Arby's, and what do you think of it in general?
Well, I can't say I've ever been deliberately poisoned by Arby's.
Yeah.
I would say, like, first of all, you should be suspicious of any place that will give you 5 roast beef sandwiches for $5. You know?
Yeah.
That seems like, where they're like, a roast beef sandwich, how much is that? $1.
Which, not to shit on the whole thing, but spend the $5 and just find out.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Or it's like you could spend, you know, $2 or $1 and kind of figure this out on your own.
Right. It's not like an In-N-Out where maybe you've never been there.
Or they're hard to find, or they're far away. Like, you know, there's an Arby's everywhere.
Someone was telling me that there's this rumor, of course, that if you go to an In-N-Out, they have secret items.
Yeah, they do.
And someone was telling me that Sonic, the drive-thru, also has secret items. Although, I heard this from like a 14-year-old kid today.
Okay.
Who told me he went to the Sonic in town and ordered, he said, "I'll have a Sprite orgasm."
All right.
And of course they said, "What the fuck is that?" You know? And he says, "Never mind. I'll have a root beer float." Because he didn't know either.
Okay.
What is with this secret menu? What's the point of that?
I don't really know.
To attract you to their stupid Twitter or something?
You know, the secret menu at In-N-Out Burger, like, a lot of the stuff is just sort of variations on things they already have.
Right. They don't have some awesome, it's not like they have crab in the back. They have the same shit, just different combinations.
Like, somebody's told me they do have chicken, which is not on the normal menu.
Why would you want that?
Yeah, like, why would you go to In-N-Out Burger for chicken? I don't really understand. But most of the stuff is like, you'd get the special sauce on your fries, or you could get like a triple cheeseburger instead of a double one, or, you know, nothing crazy exotic, like nothing that, you know, it's just different combinations mostly of the stuff they already have.
Yeah.
So
I don't get it.
I mean, as for Sonic, you know, I don't get, first of all, I don't really eat at Sonic that often anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's next to my work.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've eaten at Subway 500 times more than I would have because it's the only place that I can walk from my work
in the
faster
time limit
than I could drive.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
that or the bowling alley, and I've taken the bowling alley a handful. You know, you get there and you're like, well, I guess I'll have nachos for lunch.
Like, nachos for lunch again.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I must say something about Subway where you're like, man, I'm risking nachos for lunch, but
it
seems like a better plan.
You order the nachos and you see a guy run over to the vending machine with a bunch of change and buy out all the tortilla chips in the little bags and put them on a plate.
You're like, oh, good.
This is going to be great.
This is the best staffed restaurant ever.
They really got their shit together.
Wouldn't it be great if there's some at the melting pot at work the exact same way?
You see him go to a vending machine across the street.
Right, he's getting a whole bunch of strawberries.
Hi, I'm John Train. I'll be right back. And you hear all this change in his pocket.
He's got one of those little change belts like conductors have on the trolley.
I also wanted to mention he made a good point of telling us that he was in a band,
okay,
which I thought was totally unnecessary.
Do you think he was in the band Train?
He was like 40. No.
That would not have been awesome because Train's a shitty band, but...
Well, it would have been awesome because he was in Train and working at the Melting Pot.
Yeah, it also would have been
good.
The
universe has balance again.
I suppose.
So while we're on the fast food topic, maybe I'll read this other one.
Okay. This is the Wendy's dress code one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's titled, "Why Can't I Have My Earrings In at Work?" And I'm just going to read this verbatim.
All right.
Okay, so I'm starting a new job at Wendy's. I have 10 piercing. All of them are on my ears, but 2 my nose and tongue.
All
of them are here, except for the ones that are not.
So all of them except for the ones... It sounds like, you know, it sounds like an Orwellian thing, like from Animal Farm, where...
Double plus good, but minus.
Yeah, like the 1984 sort of thing.
Yeah.
That is some serious duck speak right there.
I understand why I can't have my nose or tongue rings in... But why can't I have the ones on my ears in?
Okay.
When I went in for my orientation, I only had my industrial, 2 of my cartilage / helix, and 1 on my lobes. They told me that I had to take them all out. Why is that? Now, can you explain an industrial?
Oh, man. I'm trying
to think. If you can, it's okay.
I have no idea what an industrial...
Or a cartilage. Now, cartilage is up on the top, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what an industrial would be.
I'm wondering if it's like, you know, there's the, maybe it's the little flap that you could push into your ear when you want to hear silence.
Maybe.
I don't know. There's not that many parts.
I mean, it's not the gauging thing where people
like that would be gauges.
Yeah.
Right.
Which you're like,
and that's still on your lobes. She says she has lobes. I don't know what this industrial is.
Yeah, that's strange. Maybe someone should write in or email and tell us what this is.
No, don't, because I don't care.
All right.
Because I won't ask on Yahoo Answers. I'll just fucking Google it, but I won't because I don't give a shit.
I was trying to get the fans involved.
Oh, yeah, do that then.
Yeah, especially our international fans. What's it like where you're from?
Yeah, what do you guys do to fuck up your faces?
Exactly.
You know what I don't like, too? Have you seen the piercing? It's a stud, and it's sort of on the upper lip.
Yeah, where it looks kind of like they have something. It
looks like a zit from a distance, and then you get close, and it's like, oh, it's a shiny zit.
It is.
That you put there on purpose forever.
I guess I don't understand it, because it seems like that spot, you know, if you went a little bit above and you're in the nose,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, I get that, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you went even on the lip, like the lower lip, sure. I'm like, not my thing, but it makes sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, that spot just seems like I couldn't really decide between my nose and my lip, so I went halfway in between.
It just seems to me that's just some space. I mean, instead of piercing your nipple or your belly button, you pierced some spot in the middle. It's just getting stabbed at that point. It's not really an accessory.
I guess I don't understand. Yeah, I don't really understand like what kind of statement you're trying to make there, because you're not trying
to... Oh, fuck that shit. Now, that's a good... Let's start with that.
Okay.
What do you think, these piercings? Does it even matter? I mean, if you're manager of a Wendy's.
Right.
And let's pretend you care about it, because, you know, you'll have
I care enough to enforce this policy, whatever it is.
To enforce any, because if I was the manager of Wendy's, I think I would just say, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
This is my first day. I don't know.
I guess I don't understand, like, why they couldn't just tell her, like, listen, if you don't take that stuff out of your ears, we're going to stick you in the back over the fry machine. You know,
but why did it? Here's what I'm asking you.
Okay.
Well, who cares?
How much
quality appearance do you expect? And what's the difference between, let's say this girl is hot.
All right.
And then they hire the worst looking person you've ever seen. Just a complete troll.
Okay.
Who would you rather have give you your food? Someone who looks clean and nice and has maybe some aggressive piercings, or someone who looks like they haven't showered nor heard of the word shower, and they've used the eyewash station at the high school where they janitor at night is their only method of cleaning.
Okay, so...
So their eyes are bright white, but the rest is horrifying.
So basically you're
sort of... They have a raccoon mask around their eyes of grime.
So basically you're sort of giving me the choice between, like, one of the suicide girls and Pigpen.
Exactly.
Okay, so which I'd rather have handling my food.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to go with the person who's clean, and I don't really think that anything in her ears is going to affect how clean my food is.
Okay, so you don't give a fuck if you were the manager, but
no,
you do for this scenario.
Okay,
why? Why are you telling her no piercings? I'll be the girl. You be the manager. So I come into your office.
Okay.
Hi, I was just wondering why I have to take out my industrial and my cartilage/helix.
Well, the reason you have to take out all of your piercings, Susie, is the fact that Dave really likes everything orderly.
Who's Dave?
Dave Thomas, the founder of this company.
I thought he was dead.
Well, he's still alive in all of our hearts.
Okay.
All right. And we want to carry on his spirit now that he's gone.
Mm.
And he likes everything orderly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we have square hamburgers. We don't have these crazy anarchic circles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you want to just have all these crazy, curvy things that are seductive and evil, you can go work at Burger King. But here, we do things the right way.
Can we compromise if I get some square, angular earrings? Would that
be? As long as all of your piercings or jewelry have squares or cubes, we're fine. Okay. So, but all these circle things are unacceptable. So you have to go change
that. Maybe
they're
just against the circles.
Right. They hate curves because they're seductive and of the devil.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just say if the manager of this Wendy's is out there somewhere.
Right.
You're a piece of shit.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know why you care about. And also I would say to this girl, why is that? My answer to you is just fucking wear them, because probably the manager doesn't give a fuck, but they have to say, by the way, you're not allowed to wear those.
Right.
And then they'll never mention it again.
I mean, it seems kind of like you should mention that during the job interview.
Yeah.
And be like, listen, if you come work here, you're going to have to take all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And she can say, well, I don't want to do that. And then you'd be like, well, then you can't work here. You know, like not deal with this on your first day of work. You should have dealt with this before you showed up, you know,
it's just
in the interview process.
It's so unrewarding because at Pizza Hut, I've already talked about him before. This fucking asshole, JP, was the new manager.
Right.
And he was the biggest dick. And he did things like we had these trash cans.
Uh-huh.
And all the trash cans were for were you would make the pizza and you use these rings around the top to help you put the toppings in the center.
Okay.
And then, of course, they had the pan. So the dirty rings and dirty pans went in these giant trash cans.
Mm-hmm.
From the trash cans, they go over to get washed.
Okay.
He made me wash the outside of these trash cans.
The outside?
The outside.
No, okay.
That dirty dishes were going in. So this would be sort of like washing, I don't know, taking the racks out of your dishwasher, taking them to the car wash, washing them and putting them back in.
Okay, basically the washing process should take care of it on its own.
And dirty dishes are going in there. You don't need to wash them because what difference does it make if a dirty dish is going into a clean receptacle?
Now, does JP have a purpose for this or like was this some kind of punishment?
Because he's a fucking asshole because he just wanted to keep people busy and because he was the guy, he was like the corporate hitman who would go to these different, because I guess our store was shit, which it was. So he would go to the different stores and sort of clean up their act.
Right.
But here's what sucks, I think, about it's a no-win situation when you're JP.
Okay.
Because he's telling me to clean the garbage cans and I have to do it.
Right.
But I know he's an asshole.
Uh-huh.
He knows he's an asshole. He's probably making $15,000 a year. And he's bossing around 16-year-old kids who think he's an asshole.
So basically, if you're sort of if you're the cleanup man for Pizza Hut, you're not exactly, you know, taking off in life.
No, that's, not.
You have a miserable job.
First this, then I'm going to be the new co-manager of Facebook.
Right, it's not going to.
You're not setting the world on fire.
No, and so.
You're setting my skin on my hands on fire, forcing me to use a bleach solution to clean these things, but that's about it.
So basically, your only joy in life is bossing around people who are about a decade younger than you.
Yeah.
And making them do horrible things, sort of that if they feel pain, then perhaps your own pain will go away.
Well, and he's not even, I don't think he's getting pleasure out of it. I certainly didn't give him any satisfaction.
So basically, yeah, he had a miserable job. The Wendy's managers probably has the same miserable job.
I think so.
You know, it seems like it's the sort of message of you need to go to college.
Well, or Target.
Or, yeah.
At least you don't have food.
Right.
For fuck's sake.
You have to wear the red, you know, and khaki uniform all the time. That's not so bad.
No, and at least you have khakis for when you start maybe a legitimate job at some point in your life.
Right, you're halfway there.
Well, I think we helped some people out. What do you think?
I think so. We answered three of those questions.
Yeah.
I think that we now have learned a little bit about Arby's restaurant.
Yeah. Wow. Extra question marks.
Right. And I think we tried to help the piercing manager.
Well,
we helped him know he was a dick.
Yeah.
And we definitely would like the Venetian Theater to sponsor the show.
Yeah. Our new sponsor, Theater on Venus, built by some crazy bitch.
Who decided to get answers for this on Yahoo.
So if you get on a spaceship now,
right,
you will not get there before you die.
Do you think she asked a question about how to travel to Venus right after that?
I think she's already there mentally and emotionally. I don't know if she needs to worry about
the physical part.
Getting a travel agent, yeah.
Seems like she should just work everything out and make it all the same.
Agreed.
All right.
Any last advice?
No, I think just keep on trucking.
I'd say so too.
But also be sure to send in your emails and questions eventually. Where should they send those?
You could find us online, helpfulsnowman.com, email helpfulsnowman@gmail.com, facebook.com/helpfulsnowman, twitter.com/helpfulsnowman.
Right on.
And that'll probably only be getting worse as time goes on. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah.